Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's 6 o'clock. Welcome to this meeting of Rydale District Council's Planning Committee. May I welcome members of the public and fellow members. There is no press present at the moment. We're not expecting any fire alarms, so if the alarm does go off, it is for real. The exits are on the way, the way you came in, out that way, and out of the doors behind me to the right, and congregate in the park. Car park at the top. Ladies and gents, toilets are out in the corridor and water is also available in the corridor. Could everyone please make sure their mobile phones are switched off or on silent? We do have a number of speakers tonight. Each speaker will have 3 minutes to speak and I will give them an audible warning when there are 30 seconds left. Do all members have a copy of the agenda papers? Thank you. So we'll move on to item one, which is apologies for absence, please.
Apologies have been received from councillors Mrs. Goodrick and Mrs. Burr. Councillor Arnold will substitute for councillor Mrs. Goodrick and councillor Mrs. Shields will substitute for councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you. I've got minutes of the meetings. Held on the 7th of May 2014 and the 24th of April 2014. Can somebody move those, please? Thank you. Can I have a seconder for those minutes? Thank you. We'll put those minutes to the vote, please. We're doing both on the same one. Oh. Just abstain. If you weren't there, you'll have to abstain. Well, you moved them. Well, I'll move them from the chair then. Thank you. All those in favour, please show. How are we waiting for? Can you vote, please, on the minutes, if you haven't already done so? Do we know who they are?
Mrs. Shields. Who are we missing?
I don't know. Who's not voted? I have now. Right, fine. They are approved, thank you. I have no urgent business, so we'll move on to declarations of interest. Has anybody got any declarations of interest? No declarations of interest then, thank you. So we now move on, slightly different, if I can find it. Right, before we move to the main agenda, I would like to remind members that this planning committee is a non-political committee. Whatever political party are in government can, at any time, amend planning policies. Our planning officers have to make their recommendations within these laws and planning policies. So if members do not agree with officer recommendations, then they must have a cogent reason to do so. Thank you. Now we move on to the schedule of items to be determined by committee. And find a bit of paper. Agenda item number 6 is 14/00096/ major outline. The application site is Agricultural Contractors, Wellham Road, Norton, Moulton. It is residential development of 18 dwellings following demolition of existing agricultural type buildings. Officer Appraisal, please.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Just before I go into the officer appraisal and appraise members of any updates, I'd just like to set members through some photographs behind me. This photograph here just shows the red line surrounding the application site, effectively a triangle piece of land. This is a view showing existing view into the site at the moment. As you can see, there are obviously the grass paddock area beyond and surrounded by residential properties. That was emphasised by the site location plan, surrounded by residential properties. This is just showing there's various photographs in and around the actual site. I'll just skip through them if I may. One thing that's worth noting is just that this site is actually lower than the surrounding landform. And these are just shots of the surrounding residential properties. There are no updates that members are aware of, other than the fact that just to emphasise on just one thing, if members were all on that wavelength, was the Environment Agency obviously takes flooding quite seriously, and there has been a number of changes recently in criteria in terms of looking at areas that are susceptible to flooding. There are no further comments. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. We have speakers on this item. We'll start with the ward councillor. Councillor Mrs. Keel, please.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the Planning Committee, for giving me this opportunity to speak to you. As members will be aware, as well as being a member of this council, I'm also a member of Norton Town Council, which you will see as a statutory consultee, recommended that this application be refused. I've also been contacted by many residents in my ward about the application, some of whom are with us this evening. Local residents have raised several issues in objection to this application, and I will detail some of those. Obviously, the officer's report, and can I commend the officers on the report? I think it's very thorough and very to the point as to how this application should be determined. But these are some of the comments that have been made. I think the photographs that we've been shown this evening actually are quite deceptive, because from those photographs, the site looks a lot bigger than it actually is. This is in reality quite a small site, and is, in the view of the Town Council and also local residents, too small to accommodate 18 dwellings with the appropriate level of parking, etc. One of the major concerns that local residents have is that this is going to lead to overflow parking from residents within the development in areas that are already well congested with parking. Although the plans have changed since they were originally put in, so that they now remove the access along St Peter Street, which was obviously a major concern for local residents, the suggested access from the lakeside area does cut directly across a long-standing busy footpath that is very widely used by local people, including parents taking small children to the nearby primary school and older students from Norton College. This is currently a very safe access route for residents, and it would be directly intersected by the access to the new development, which is, in our view, as local residents, unacceptable. As stated above, there are also genuine concerns that this access will be used to access the lakeside estate, and extra parking will occur on that already quite congested estate. Many households, as we are all aware, now have more than one vehicle, and this is a serious concern for local people. But the most significant thing that I want to talk to you about is flooding. This area is on the Environment Agency flood maps in Zone 2 and 3A.
30 seconds.
Right, I'll try and rush. So it is at a high level of flood risk already, and this would be greatly exacerbated by the development on a site which would inevitably mean that there would be less natural drainage possible in the area. Members of the committee will be well aware of the long-standing issues with flooding in Norton, both on watercourses and sewers. The town is served by outdated Victorian sewage system that has led to major flooding just 2 years ago. The system is at capacity already, and further development in the area will add to problems
Thank
that the
you,
residents
Councillor,
face.
That's your time.
Can Sorry. I? It's literally, I've got one more sentence.
Okay.
Thank you. The suggestion that has been made is that the surface water overflow could go into Millbeck, the nearby watercourse, and this is already the cause of the local localised flooding. And should this development go ahead, this extra surface water would add to an already huge problem in the area. I'm absolutely, frankly, amazed and disgusted that Yorkshire Water have made no objection to this application, because if it does go ahead, the local residents will have more foul water flooding in their homes. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is an objector, Judith Bradley, please. Just in the middle, the button in the middle, that's the one, yeah. Okay, you've got 3 minutes and I'll give you an audible warning at 30 seconds. If you push the button.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and Chairman, for allowing me to speak to you. I speak as an objector to the proposed development of the 18 dwellings on the agricultural contractors in Welland Road, Norton. I'm aware that the applicant has made to their proposals amendments with regard to vehicle access to via Lakeside Garden, which was always the way it was intended when the guidelines were given for Lakeside Gardens in 1992. The social housing element has moved, I understand, within the site to mix it in. I'm aware there are some who hold very strong views about this content in a principally private housing area. Shared equity may be the way forward for the committee and the applicant. My fundamental objections, and that of many others nearby, is the increasing flood risk, not only to these new homes, but to surrounding properties who may be deluged to a greater depth or find themselves a part of a flood area for the first time. This site has flooded in the last two major floods. The applicant submitted paperwork that is shows the Department of Environment website shows it to be on the floodplain. We are aware of the Norton flood defences have saved us in this area in the last couple of years, but the seeping walls along the Norton Road and the height of the water behind those walls, with the crucial Bett Mills Welland Road pumps only yards away, do not give people any confidence that you have built up enough margin of safety for this area of Norton. The applicant and the Department of Environment need to provide to the public and to the council that they are in control of the flood risk. I am concerned that this proposed development and others coming forward between this site running south to the foothills of Whitewall is not designed with a scheme with water management measures in place to prevent or decrease the flood risk to existing properties. The worst case scenario for this area is the high level of rain and snowmelt coming out of the River Derwent. High levels of flow due to prolonged rainfall to the aquifer, which forms the source of Bett Mills. And of course, flash floods with uncontrolled runoff from roads, roofs, paths and drives channelling into the Bett Mills stream. I thank you, committee, for allowing me to speak. I hope I've managed to do it in 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is the agent, Mark Newby, and I will allow you a few extra seconds, as I did the council. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. In determining this application today, we would urge members to consider the following points. The planning officer in his report accepts that the principal development is acceptable and that save from the issue of the sequential test, there are no other material considerations or technical reasons which would warrant refusal of this application for 18 dwellings on this sustainable brownfield site within the development limits of Norton, and of which six dwellings are to be much-needed one-bed affordable dwellings which will satisfy the identified local need. In considering the planning officer's view that the site fails a sequential test, we ask that members consider the following. In the light of the site falling mainly within the flood zone 3, we specifically engaged with the Environment Agency and met to discuss with them the potential issues of flooding on the site. We were advised, as evidence in the planning officer's report, that they had no objection to the site, to the development of the site. Indeed, we found no evidence that the site is flooded, either before the defences were constructed or since. Having previously challenged the accuracy of the Norton flood maps, the EA have acknowledged in writing that they are not always accurate and that in this case they have no objections. However, on the basis that the site is designated in flood zone 2 and 3, we undertook a required sequential test to compare the site with other sites identified within the Council's Strategic Housing Land Assessment. What we found was that there were many sites outside the development limits of Moulton and Norton, which in our view should be discounted as sequentially preferable to the application site on the grounds of sustainability, landscape and visual amenity. However, the planning officer has argued only recently and separately, following the publication of the committee report, that such sites should be considered on the basis that the development limits are under review as part of the preparation of the Rideau Plan site allocation document, and that planning permission has been given recently for at least two sites outside the development limits at Cheesecake Farm Norton and Broughton Road in Moulton. What the planning officer fails to point out is that both these sites were only approved as the council did not have a five-year housing supply at the time, and that these would have been refused planning permission as being outside the development limit if a five-year supply had been in place at the time. It remains at present that the council will not have a five-year supply until and if the appeal at Kirby Moorside by Gladman Developments is allowed, and or other sites in the system are approved, in which case the sites outside the development limits will then be considered to be discounted. If not, would the council then be prepared to give planning permission on any of the sites outside the development limits in the Strategic Housing Land Assessment? We think not. We submit that whilst the council considers that the development limits are under review as part of the site allocations document, the search for sites must start within the current development limits in order to restrict the take-up of sites outside development limits in the interests of protecting the character and appearance of both Moulton and Norton. In conclusion, we submit that there is a case for approving the application as we believe the sequential test has been incorrectly applied and that there are no other sound planning reasons which would warrant refusal of the application. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to come back on that?
Thank you, Chairman. Just regarding that the assessment that's been made and the assessment of the officer of the proposal, I mean, effectively, what the MPPF says, obviously, is the presumption in favour of sustainable development, but that's not just sustainable development. It's looking in the round of all other issues, one of those being flooding. Therefore, that's where we are with the report. That's where we've reached this assessment of this in terms of sequentially preferable and the site being in flood risk zone 3. That's why the recommendation is as it is, Chairman. Thank you.
Councillor Mrs. Shields, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, as also a Norton member, both for the wards and also the county, I agree with my colleague who has spoken earlier. We have had objections. The town council went through this matter some weeks ago, and lots of people have also contacted me by phone about the proposals. There are several reasons, picking up from the numerous ones that are actually in our planning agenda here tonight, which I would just like to stress. First of all, it is a small area. It's a strange shape, a triangular piece, but it would mean overdevelopment of this very small piece of land. It could cause real parking problems, and I really think it would be trying to cram too many buildings into a very small space. There are lots of other houses that we saw from some of the photographs earlier, quite close, all around that particular site, which is going to mean a loss of amenity for the people who are there. It also means, of course, that we lose a bit of a green area, and these are not very many now, actually, in Norton, as building is going on apace. The impact on Newby nearby residents is important. We had an example some years ago when we built up Cheesecake Farm, has been mentioned, and I remember opposing it quite strongly at the time. And if you stand at the end of either Burdale Close or Rydale Close of the Langley Road, or is it Hambleton Road at that side, then you look down and you see all the bungalows that were part of the original residence there. And behind them are these huge houses, right overtowering and more or less overshadowing the houses right at the end there. This sort of thing could again happen in this particular area. I would hate to see it. It was bad enough with the other one. Then there's also the question of the infrastructure. I don't know why it is, but every time housing comes up, the one thing that it seems not to be considered is the effect on people and their lives generally. Apart from having a roof over their heads, they've still got to live. There are so many children, so many small children now in the area. Our own local primary school is more than 500 pupils at the moment, and the county, as I'm sure a colleague here will confirm, actually thinking about looking for a site in order to build another school to help accommodate the children who are coming. We have so much building down every road from the Beverley Road and also down the Scarborough Road. And then, of course, there's also the impact on the surgeries. The doctors, I went in there the other day to get a prescription, and I was absolutely amazed at the dozens of people sitting in there waiting for the doctors. It's not because they're slow. I think they do an excellent job. But at the same time, people who are coming in and buying new houses obviously have to have that facility. And it's something which seems to be forgotten. And every time there's a housing application, nobody thinks about either of these things afterwards. Eventually, of course, everything catches up with us. And last, of course, but not least, has been mentioned by two people who've already spoken. Excuse me. It is, in my opinion, absolute folly to build on what is, in fact, a flood area. Our officers have looked really carefully at the details, and in the refusal at the end there, you've got the details of the zones 2 and 3, which are covered by the flood area and the kind of flooding that can occur. And for that to happen there would be absolutely disastrous. I think the officers have done an extremely good report. It's very thorough. A lot of people have taken an interest naturally in this, and I support all their reasons, and I would like, therefore, to move refusal of this application, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman, wait.
Councillor Mrs. Sanderson.
I was just wondering if we'd had questions to officers or whether we're in debate.
Good question. Would you like to ask any questions of the officers? Thank you. Carry on.
Just about the overdevelopment and the infrastructure and the impact on the surgery and such that Councillor Keel mentioned. First of all, is this a planning consideration? And secondly, have we had clarification on both the flood zone and any impact it will have on other houses surrounding the development? Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you, Councillor. Just with regarding some of the issues that was mentioned by Councillor Mrs. Shields, with regard to the overall impact on the surrounding area and people's quality of life and so forth. I know the school was mentioned in particular. The comments that have come back from the Education Authority, North Yorkshire Education Authority, would be were the application to be considered acceptable, they will be looking for a contribution towards places and spaces for that element. With regard to the flooding, as best as we can tell, obviously, yes, it is 2 and 3A. That's why, 95 to 98% of it is in flood risk zone 3A, and the rest of it is in 2. And just in terms of the impact on the doctor's surgery and so forth, I mean, that is something that's taken in the realm, but obviously we haven't specifically gone and questioned the surgery as to the capacity that they have or have within that surgery at the moment.
Just to come in on that point with the surgery, and clearly, as you'll know from the local plans allocation for Moulton and Norton as a settlement, then clearly we're promoting in the life of the plan up to 1,500 dwellings in the settlement, and as part of that consultation, the surgery is not, or the not the surgery, but the PCT and the Education Authority and the like have not objected to that level of growth. So in that context, either the surgery has the capacity or the capacity to expand to take account of that. So we don't anticipate, for example, a development of 18 dwellings would have a capacity problem at the surgery per se. But something that's come out of the discussion tonight, and I'll just ask members to look at page 27, I think it is, on the pages, if you're able to look at that. And it's not something we've recommended as a reason for refusal, but clearly there have been concerns about the number of dwellings on this slightly unusual shaped site. It's a triangular shaped site with what's left over after what's been built around it, in effect. And as you can see, the site tapers from the west to the east, in effect, towards St. Peter's Street. When the plans were originally submitted, I think six of the dwellings were shown to be accessed off St. Peter's Street, which itself generated a heck of a lot of objections. They were the six one-bed flats. And if anybody knows St. Peter's Street, it's a wall-to-wall terrace street, and it's got a lot of on-street parking, which then tapers out to a right-angled private driveway. This plan was amended to delete that access altogether. So in that sense, at a stroke, it dealt with a lot of the access and parking objections that we'd had on that score. The Highway Authority, for their part, have not objected to this scheme, which is proposing the extension of the Lakeside Way driveway over the footway, but clearly there will need to be measures put into place to protect pedestrians and users of the footway onto what's shown as the new turning space. As part of that redesign, the six one-bed flats then have been put to the other end of the site, towards the wider end of the site, which are units 4 through to 9, and the layout reconfigured as you see it before you. Now, whilst it is an outline application, it does show, and to planning officers' minds, how the site could be developed to accommodate 18 dwellings without necessarily overdeveloping and creating problems with the amenities of neighbours that's been discussed tonight. But clearly that's something that members have raised. I think Councillor Mrs Shields raised it again. And all we can say to you is, well, look, it's an outline application. This is the layout that we have before us. As it stands, we're recommending refusal, but purely on the flooding issue.
Are there any more questions for officers? Councillor Hope.
Thank you, Chairman. I noticed on here, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you usually do, Gary, highway's got major concerns, not concerns to the link to the highway. On those photographs, have I got it wrong, or is it just one way in and one way out?
It was the original layout that I just was talking about. What we had, we've had an amended scheme come in as part of that process. Their original objection was an objection, I believe, to the St. Peter's Street entrance. Yeah. And also, at the time the application was originally submitted, the red line didn't technically reach the end of the adopted highway as it is at the moment.
Yeah.
The plan was amended to take account.
On the photograph, then, the way in and way out is in the bottom left-hand corner.
Yes. You can't really see. Have you got the...
Is there a better photograph of that? Because...
This is Wellham Road.
Yeah.
This is St. Peter Street, and off plan you've got Langton Road over here. And if Wellham Road went down, if this photograph went down far enough, Lakeside Way comes in somewhere down here and arcs round the little lake here, comes into this point here, and at the moment stops short of the site, the red line. So the driveway that you're looking at on page 27 effectively is coming into this area here. So all of the dwellings would be accessed via Lakeside Way and Wellham Road for vehicular access.
Yeah. What about emergency services? If there's only that way in and that way out?
I'm sure there's some reference to emergency services.
There is.
There's a dedicated emergency route through here, I think.
Yeah, I think the applicant was going to make another one in, but I can't find that.
Yeah. But, I mean, in terms of the access into the site, the Highway Authority is not objecting with the revisions that we've got.
Right. Right. Not happy, but...
Councillor Vitches.
My questions were the same as Councillor Hope's on the fact there were two responses to the consultation from Highways and the Parish Council. Would it be possible to make that more clear in future that it was kind of the first phase of application, first and the second? Because it was quite confusing to read that there was an application of acceptable comment and then to read that there was no objection after that from Highways on page 10 of the report.
We'll take that point, Councillor Richardson. I mean, the report does actually condense that into two paragraphs within the report, but yes. Okay.
Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. Did Councillor Shields propose refusal?
We are still in questions at the moment, sorry.
All right.
If there's any more questions for the officers before? No, right, we'll go into debate then. Councillor Maud.
Well, I thought from what Councillor Shields said that she was proposing refusal. I'd like to second refusal. I've been listening to everything that's been said, and I don't think there's anything much more to say, really. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other member wishing to speak? Councillor Richardson.
I just want to play kind of devil's advocate, because I do agree with the fact that we're in a high flood risk area, but when I first saw it and saw that it was brownfield land being reused, not greenfield land in Norton, I thought, well, that's something I can agree with. The concerns about the schools, increased flood risk through drainage, that should be dealt with through developer contributions and investment in infrastructure through good planning, and that's why we consult with outside organisations to see their point of view and try and react to what they need. The safe crossing and emergency vehicle access is something I'd like to see firmed up, and that would be my main sticking point, because you can build in floodplains if you've got the right technology and you put the right mitigation measures in place. But it's just it's got to be well planned, and I don't think it's quite there yet. But in principle, building on brownfield land in a floodplain could work. I just don't think this is quite right at this time.
Do you want to come back then?
Yes, I mean, I think echoing some of what Councillor Richardson said is in the context of Rydale has very few brownfield sites, and a lot of the ones that we have are either contaminated or have poor access or flood. So it just make it quite difficult to get that brownfield figure up as one might happen, you know, if we were dealing with Leeds or York or elsewhere. And clearly there are benefits to be derived from the development, you know, in terms of affordable housing and the like, and making a contribution to the housing needs of the district. But I think there comes a point in time when that has to be balanced about and around the other environmental considerations. And clearly this is a mixed housing scheme. You know, it's a scheme of 3, 4, 5 and one bedroom units. It's a continuation of the estate, if you like, but into an area where there is a known flood risk. And clearly, although we've heard what we've heard from the applicant's agent, clearly we've also had presented to us a lot of information about the fact that this site does flood. I think going back to first principles, however, the MPPF does take us back to the point of trying to avoid development in flood risk areas. One of the few elements of detailed advice that came out of the MPPF, which, as members will recall, was reduced down from 1,000-odd pages of guidance to 52 pages, the one thing that was left really for district councils was the detailed guidance on flood risk. So, you know, I think that's the only thing that we do disagree on with the applicant is the application of the tests that are associated with that. On balance, we're recommending refusal.
Councillor Mrs. Sanderson.
Well, just to say whether you can mitigate for building in a floodplain or not, I think for me it's an absolute stopper. The fact that it is prone to flooding or and it's in this flood zone, I think seeing the misery that Moulton and Norton have gone through recently and knowing that things can only get worse and knowing what the drains and sewers are like, for me, it stops it dead in its tracks. So I will be voting against this.
Councillor Woodward.
First of all, can I say I shall be voting against it too on the flooding, which is the only reason we've been given. What concerns me a little is Gary's last sentence. On balance, we are recommending refusal. I do hope that if it goes to appeal, our consultants admit that we've got it right and we don't end up having to award, having costs awarded against us, even if costs haven't been applied for, Chair.
Chairman, every decision we make is balancing the pros and cons of the application. So I would hope Councillor Woodward's taken it in the manner it was intended, my last comment.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded for refusal, so we'll... If no one else wants to speak, we shall go to the vote. Thank you. That is unanimously for refusal. So it is refused. Thank you. Very kind of you to tell me. We'll move on. Item agenda number 7 has been withdrawn, so we'll go on to item agenda number 8, which is 14/00316. Major, wherever that is.
Major reserve matters.
Reserve matters, thank you. The site is at 5 Wellham Road, Norton, Moulton. The proposal is erection of 3 number retail units, use class A1, and children's day nursery, use class D1.
Thank you, Chairman. Keep it very brief. We did grant outline planning permission for this development, and it was one of those outline planning permissions which granted permission for the layout, scale, and also the means of access into the site. So the plans that you see on page 79 or page 80, whichever one you prefer, that layout has already got permission. So in essence, what we're dealing with tonight is what these buildings look like, which if you go on to page 81 and 84, Chairman, you have the elevations of the retail units and also the children's day nursery. And again, these very much follow the proportions and style of the illustrative drawings which were submitted with the outline application, which were the scale of the buildings. In essence, Chairman, there's nothing more to add. It is very much what we're expecting to see, but because it's a major application, it comes to you as a planning committee to decide. I do have some up-to-date photographs of the site, and I'm sure Mrs. Shields has probably driven past this on more occasions than she cares to remember, but the old Dewhurst factory building has long since been demolished. And this site, which is opposite the Lidl store and next to the car garage, has been boarded with sort of construction boards for some time now. Clearly is a site waiting to happen. And I think the developer is keen to sort of get on and do what he wants to do on the site with the nursery and the retail units. So recommend approval, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions for officers before we move into debate? Councillor Richardson.
What use class was on the... because I'm familiar with the use classes from the top of my head, was the previous building?
Previous building was a factory. It was a clothing factory. The retail units are Class A1, but limited to non-convenience, non-food, in effect. And the children's day nursery is a Class D1 use. I think that's been the constant in this site, really, is I think there's a local operator who wishes to go in and have the day nursery. Originally, it did start out off life as an application for another food store. I think it was Aldi at the time, a bit later in the game than Lidl, and that fell by the wayside with the competition getting in first, and so the scheme has become an alternative form of retailing.
Councillor Mrs. Shields, again.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, I'm delighted to see that we've got as far as an application and something concrete, hopefully, going to come into being. We have waited a long time to see something done to the site. It was a good thing when the original building came down. That would be an eyesore for at least 10 years, I suppose. And we hoped that perhaps something would happen to it rather more quickly. But as you said, Aldi tried to get in and then they withdrew. But there was always the suggestion there might be a nursery there. And I think it's very good to have that because one or two quite close to me, another part of the district, have actually closed down. And I think they're very much in demand. And one right at that particular point will be very handy for so many parents, particularly mothers who are going out to work. It's also encouraging, I think, to have the possibility of retail units there as well. Get some new businesses there right sort of, almost the confluence of the two towns and the river and the bridge there and so on, so that I'm very happy to support this and propose that we accept the application, Chairman.
Thank you. Steve's got his finger. You did move that, Mrs. Shields. Thank you. Councillor Arnold.
Thank you, Chair. At the bottom of page 76, it says the landscape officer has identified discrepancies between the site layout and landscaping plan and will be updated on at the meeting after the negotiation.
Well spotted, Councillor Arnold. One of the plans shows an area of landscaping with concrete on it. Right. So that's what we would call a discrepancy in our book. He has recommended some alternative planting on that area. Including some, in addition to some shrubs, a few small tree types to go in.
Does that mean the concrete will be dug up?
That means the concrete won't be being approved in the first place, Councillor Arnold.
Thank you.
Could you speak into your mic, please?
Can I second the approval for approval?
Thank you, yes. Any other member wishing to speak? It has been moved and seconded for approval, so we'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That is unanimous again, so it is approved. Moving on, item agenda 9 has been withdrawn. So we'll move on to item agenda 10, which is 13/00880/73A, Application site is Eastfield Lodge, Long Lane, Great Bath. Proposal is variation of condition 02, agricultural occupancy condition of approval 3/94/7B/PA dated 15th of the 5th, 1978 to allow local needs occupancy. Officer approval. Appraisal even. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Members will note that item number 10, this one, and number 11 are actually linked, the same applicant. One relates to the varying and lifting the condition. This is item number 10. And item number 11 relates to the proposal for an annex to the dwelling. Now, if I can just draw members' attention to the photographs, because they relate to both the sites. Same site, same applicant. This actually shows the access onto the main lane from the actual site itself, the gated entrance behind the conifers. That's where the actual dwelling is at the moment in time. The site itself is screened, which I'll come onto those photographs in a few moments. This is the actual bungalow in question, with the parking to the frontage just behind those conifers that you can see on the street frontage, lane frontage. These are just photographs taken around the bungalow. This is the elevation, roughly where this photograph is taken, is where the annex is going to go, so it's going to be quite close up against the dwelling itself. This just shows the actual existing boundary feature as you approach the site, quite a large Leylandi conifers along there, so the site itself is very heavily screened from the surrounding area. And this just shows the paddock area to us, part of the garden, well it's not part of the garden, but just the paddock area to the rear of the garden, formal garden area. And this is just in the shot of the actual bungalow. The application, item number 10, is for the lifting of the actual agricultural tie. The applicant has actually lived in the property for at least 12 years, and effectively their dynamics change. So what they're effectively applying for now is the lifting of one tie and reimposition of another tie, the local needs occupancy tie. Now, effectively, the lifting of a occupancy restriction, obviously we look at each application is considered on a case-by-case basis. In this particular case, this isn't just the removal and opening of the dwelling for a full market dwelling or market property where anybody could live at that residence. This is just reimposing the local needs occupancy on there so that it will be restricted to the applicant, her family, and anybody else that complies with that requirement, that local needs. And there are no further updates, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any questions for the officer? Councillor Woodward.
Thank you, Chair. On page 98, it says, just under appraisal, the second paragraph under appraisal, it says, some 40 years ago, the dwelling was erected in connection with the requirements of Eastfield Farm. The requirements subsequently diminished sometime thereafter following the sale of the agricultural land and the disused farmhouse. Now, have we closed the loophole that allows someone to build a house because they own land and they say they need the house, and then they go and sell the land?
Yes, thank you, Councillor. With regard to that, the actual farmhouse itself, I mean, this property, normally if you have a dwelling that comes forward in connection with a farmhouse, it normally ties to the farmhouse, or what happened in this particular case, to a farm worker and their dependents or widow. The actual holding, the larger holding, the farmhouse itself and this bungalow was actually, says there, it was sold off. The farmhouse itself, I believe, is owned by individuals that operate fairground attractions rides, yes. So effective that need, that is no longer a farmhouse, that's just a dwelling in the open country with some buildings where this gentleman keeps his business. The holding itself, the agricultural land, was sold and bought by a separate farmer, so that's part of a wider holding. So in that particular case, that particular locality, unless someone was to come forward with a large area of land and go through the rigmaroles of the policy and the requirements to put a dwelling on there, this wouldn't diminish that. That would be a separate application determined on those merits in that case where that to come forward.
I think just as an addendum to that, I think the answer is, well, when we get applications for agricultural dwellings nowadays, clearly there sometimes will be a farmstead group of buildings, a certain amount of acreage may even be an existing dwelling on the farm, and we will seek to sometimes with planning conditions, retrospectively apply conditions to the existing house if there's a proven need for two dwellings to be on a site, and can sometimes follow that up with legal agreements to try and prevent the land separation to which you refer. But that sort of, this is now, that was then. And I think the lessons of the past, going back to 1970s and beyond, were you know, applications were granted on the circumstances at the time, and I think many instances were just thought, well, that will forever go on. And of course, farming is like any other businesses. Businesses change, fail, or whatever, and inevitably we have a stock of farm workers' dwellings which have been sold separate from the land for a variety of reasons over the year, and so over the years rather, and so all that we very often get left with. It is the dwelling with the occupancy condition on it, but the circumstances which led to its granting in the first place have evaporated, and I think that's what we've got here, really. And clearly, that's why we have to assess each one separately, because the reason we go through those additional hoops and loops nowadays is to avoid abuse of the system. So I hope that's sort of answered your question. In 1978, this was an old county council permission. We were the old rural districts, and you know, I think a lot of permissions were granted without these additional ties that sort of give a bit more security to things.
Councillor Richardson.
Is local needs occupancy any easier to change to market housing than agricultural use?
Probably too soon to tell, Councillor Richardson. We've only been operating it since last September. But a good question, nevertheless. I mean, I think it's one of those that clearly this... If somebody came to us and wanted to build a new dwelling in that location now, we would probably say no, without a proven need to be on there. But actually, there's a situation here where actually the occupiers actually fulfil the local need criteria quite comfortably. And I think that was seen as a way through this morass that we found ourselves with, which actually the circumstances sort of got have overtaken events. And this doesn't conveniently or neatly fit with how we would wish things to be. But certainly in terms of local needs occupancy, I mean, clearly there could be a situation with dwellings that we approve now, which have local needs occupancy conditions, which in, I don't know, 10 years' time, somebody might come forward and say, well, actually, I'm wanting to move, for example. I put the house on the market with the occupancy condition, and nobody's come forward who complies. Equally, if people do come forward, which you would imagine for most of our settlements that would be the case, then they would be, you know, we wouldn't want to be lifting a condition like that if there's a demand or a need out there.
Any other questions for officers? Right, well, it's not in my patch, but it's very, very close. So I will move approval from the chair. Anybody wish to second that? Do anybody else wish to speak on this? Councillor Woodward.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I wasn't trying to impose, you know, 2014 planning onto something that was given permission back in 70 whatever. And Gary has reassured me, probably as well as he could, that we wouldn't get abuse. I'm not saying this was abuse, but what worried me was nowadays we could get some wealthy person come along, buy 70 acres of land, sit and wait a couple of years, say, I need a house, build a 5-6 bedroom detached house with brilliant views, and then offload the land to a local farmer again. And, you know, that's what I was concerned about, and then get the occupancy restriction lifted. Personally, I find the local needs occupancy better than the agricultural restriction, because as I understood the agricultural restriction, someone from London that used to be in farming would qualify, whereas under the local needs they won't. So I've no problem with that at all. I am a little concerned with the officer's report in the detail that it goes into the family circumstances, because in my mind, whenever anyone else mentions the family circumstances, we're told it's not a planning material consideration. And for one example I can think of is the poor old guy who we used an enforcement order to turf out of his log cabin in the woods recently, and probably had nowhere else to go. So, you know, I'm a little concerned about all the detail that's gone into regarding the applicant's details. But as I say, I'm far more relaxed about a local needs occupancy than an agricultural restriction.
I mean, just on that issue about the compliance with the agricultural occupancy condition, it's highly variable, and it does depend upon the planning permission that was granted and the age of them. So some of them are from the mid-50s, quite frankly, half the time the condition's not worth the paper it's written on. But this one, as you'll have seen from page 97, is one that actually does at least post-date the 1971 Act and talks about occupation to somebody limited, blah-de-blah, in the locality in agriculture. And whilst that's not defined, it would mean somebody from London, we would say, is not from the locality. The local needs occupancy does mean parish and adjoining parish, so it probably is closer than locality in terms of what the courts have held. But this one, whichever way it had gone, somebody from London, we wouldn't have expected, said, met that condition.
It has been moved and seconded for approval, so we will go to the vote if no one else wishes to speak. Thank you, that is unanimous. Moving on to item agenda 11, it is the same site, application number 13/00973/full, change of use of land to form an extension to domestic curtilage and erection of single-storey detached log cabin for use as a residential annex. Officer appraisal, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chairman. This obviously application is intrinsically linked to the previous one that members have just considered and voted upon. The change of use and the location of the cabin, if I can draw members' attention to page 108 of the agenda papers, this shows the position of the cabin as proposed this evening. Originally, when the application came in, the actual cabin itself was in the bottom southeastern corner of the plot, so it was very detached from the main dwelling. This has come about from officers' negotiations with them to move it close, to make it something, to make it something akin to what would regard to be a traditional annex to the main property. The hatched area itself, the reason why that's been put in is just for clarification purposes. On the original application from 78, the information's on microfiche, it's hard to distinguish exactly where the extent of the curtilage was or was formed for the original bungalow. On one photograph, one plan, it just showed that the actual annex itself would be within the actual area that was hatched for garden area to the bungalow. On another one, it looks like it's just marginally out. Effectively, what this line now represents is what is seen as being the happy medium between the two, that they can fit it on it whilst not projected into the paddock area at the back. So the curtilage itself doesn't include the whole area, it's just that area together with what's there for the existing bungalow. There are no further updates, Chairman, other than to just point out that this application will be tied to the property itself. There's a restrictive condition on there.
And just on a point of detail, the reconsultation period that's referred to, it ends today. So effectively we've already shut the door, it's ended.
There's been no further comments on that or comments raised. Thank you.
Are there any questions for the officers? No. Again, I'll move officer recommendation from the chair. Is anybody else wishing to speak on this? Councillor Woodward.
This one I'm not as happy with, Chair. It goes against our policies, and to be fair, page 107, reason two, reason for condition two, actually admits it goes against our policies. The application site is within an area where planning policy precludes the provision of new dwellings other than those essentially in the interests of agriculture and forestry. Well, we've just removed a restriction because we've been told it's not essential in the interests of agriculture and forestry. So that goes bang against a policy, and the argument for having the property is in the appraisal, which again goes into a little too much detail for me regarding the applicants, but it says about the family remaining together. And if you turn back to the previous application, it says the applicant has suggested that due to a number of health conditions, it is essential that a relative resides in close proximity. And then on page 114, the applicant says that she would like to join friends abroad for the winter months. Well, you can't have it both ways. I need to live near my friends because of illness, whatever, disease, whatever, and then say for 4 or 5 months of the year I'm going to go abroad to live. So I have concerns there, Chair. And thirdly, the concern, yes, it is tied to the existing property, but I can see down the line, when the lady's maybe in Spain sunning herself for the 4 or 5 months of winter, they're suddenly coming forward an application, can we rent this out for a few months a year? And we are likely to then say, well, the property's already there. They haven't applied to build a property to rent out. Where's the arm in saying, yeah, you can rent it out? Because we have to encourage business in rural areas. So I can't support this one, Chair.
Chairman, I understand Councillor Woodward's sort of scepticism. I think of a better word, really, Chairman. But in essence, the officers did have some concerns when we first came in that this unit was separate by some margin from the dwelling, and actually was located behind the back of what is shown as existing outbuildings on page 108, and clearly could function separately if it so came to it. So with that in mind, and it was also beyond what we perceived to be the residential curtilage into the paddock area. So with that in mind, the negotiations that went on and have developed as the negotiations have gone on has resulted in a very close proximity relocation of this annex to the bungalow, so that when they're sort of functioning together. And when you look at page 109, I mean, what this has effectively is a sitting room, a bedroom, a shower room, and what's described as a kitchenette, and then what I would call as a composite room that could be used for anybody in the household. So I think it does actually struggle to function now separately in the way that you've described it, either as a separate dwelling or some sort of separate commercial use. The condition... But they may be things that haven't got conditions that are stopping it happening. This does, in terms of the way that condition two would operate. So with those provisos, we think it's acceptable. But clearly, we have negotiated. We've come up with what we think is a reasonable solution to the applications that we've got.
Councillor Arnold.
I just wondered if we could ask her for some advice. Well, she says she's only got her old age pension to live on, yet she can go and live abroad for 6 months. I can't live abroad for 6 months, and I've got more than my old age pension to live on.
Chairman, without wishing to get into the politics of envy here, if I had some friends offering me 3 months abroad, rent free, I'd go for it.
Councillor Richardson.
Through you, Chair, can I ask another officer question? Just on the condition of this building, it is tied to the property, so it couldn't be separately rented. Is that right, as I understand it?
Well, not with that.
Councillor Mrs. Sanderson.
I'm just going to move officer recommendation, Chairman.
I did move it, so it seconded. So. Is anybody else wishing to speak on this one? It has been moved and seconded for approval, so we will go to the vote. How many is there? That's 8 in favour and 2 against, so it is approved. Agenda item 12, application number 14/00412/full, land adjacent to Crow's Nest, Broby Lane, Broby. The proposal is an erection of a two-bedroom bungalow, detached garden store and formation of two number parking spaces. Officer appraisal, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Just before I take members to make them aware of any updates, I just wanted to take them to the photographs that are behind me, just to familiarise yourself with the site in question. This is the entrance to the private lane off the main road. This is another shot along the actual private metal lane. This is a photograph looking to the site as it is at the moment in time. This is a shot taken from the other end of the lane, looking back towards actually on the main road that runs across the top there. You can just see it in the distance. Number 5, just looking at the proximity between the application site, the plot and the Crow's Nest. This is another photograph in depth on the actual site, as you can see. This just shows the rear boundary of the site with the, looks like some form of hedge or holly possibly, maybe a privet hedge in the back there. And this just shows an entrance to a different site that has been raised by a number of objectors. This was a site further down the actual grassed area that's shown on there that was subject to an application for a number of other dwellings that was actually refused. There are no further updates on this one, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officers? Thank you. Moving to debate then, this is on my patch and I know it fairly well and I'm just going to move officer appraisal. It is, officer recommendation. It is a local occupancy tie again, I believe, is it not? Yes. So yeah, I'll just move approval, thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Woodward. Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, we'll move to the vote then. Thank you, that is unanimous. It is approved. Agenda item number 13, the application number 14/00424/ADV, application site, The Rose, 9 Bridge Street, Pickering. Proposal is display of one number externally illuminated name board sign and one number non-illuminated fascia sign to south elevation, two number non-illuminated amenity signs and one number externally illuminated sign comprising individually applied enamel letters to east elevation, one number externally illuminated name board sign, and one number non-illuminated sign comprising individually applied enamel letters to west elevation, together with installation of two number wall-fixed lanterns either side of the east entrance door to replace existing signage. Officer appraisal, please.
Just before I take members to the photographs behind me, if I can draw members' attention to page 134 of the agenda papers. This shows the extent of the actual advertisements and the re-rendering and painting of the building. As we can see from the photograph behind me, that's the existing advertisement arrangement that exists at the moment, and you've got one blank elevation of the actual building itself as brickwork. The rest of it is painted brickwork. It's proposed to, as part of the application, to colour that, to actually paint that as well, so the whole building will look uniform. This just shows an existing elevation front onto the road where there's going to be no advertisements on this elevation. Originally, when it was submitted, there was going to be an advertisement board on this elevation. That's through officer negotiation been removed. And this just shows the actual elevation front onto the river. Now, basically, what's going to go on this, if you look on page 134, is the lettering that will read pub and kitchen on the main building and a sign on the elevation of the building with the chimney stack front onto the river. This application is the advertisement consent. The next application in front of members is for the listed building consent, but there aren't photographs of both. It's exactly the same. So effectively, this is what I'm asking members to consider. With regard to updates, comments have come back in from the conservation officer, who's raised no actual objection to the application as it is now. And the highway office has come back and they've raised no objections to the proposed development. Apart from that, Chairman, there are no further updates. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for officers? Councillor Richardson.
Yeah, can I just get a summary of what the conservation officer brought up before this one came around in terms of issues with the initial...
Yeah, so have you got, can you open, or refer to page 134? It's probably easier to talk around the drawings that are on there. There's a lozenge towards the top, an oval towards the top, where that's the elevation fronting onto the river that just says pub and kitchen. Effectively, the photograph that's behind me, where the actual advertisement was going to go on the main building. On this elevation, there was going to be quite a large painted rose on the elevation. I mean, admittedly, it was a red rose, it wasn't a white one, but obviously there was an issue. Yes, but there was going to be a duplicate one on this one, much larger. So obviously that was an issue that was raised. There also was going to be some more advertisements above where it says pub and kitchen as well. There was going to be a number of additional external lighting arrangements to light that up as well. So that's been withdrawn through negotiations.
Any other questions? Yeah. Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Chair, sorry, are they wanting the words pub and kitchen written on there?
I believe that is correct, yes.
Yes. I believe that's something to do with the corporate identity of the actual pub chain that are actually proposing to move into there.
Councillor Hope.
Can I just ask why it's a red rose and not a white rose? I'm not going to get an answer, am I?
You can ask that, yes.
Probably Lancastrian Company. Any more questions? We'll move to the local member. I think that's Councillor Richardson.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's Councillor Woodward. Well, you can fight over it later, but Councillor Woodward.
I'd just move it, Chair.
Councillor Richardson.
Yeah, can I second that, please? Yep. Yeah, it's the wrong side of the river, apparently.
Any other member wishing to speak? I'll go to the vote on that one then, thank you. Thank you. That is unanimous. And moving on to item agenda 14, it's the same application site and the same proposal. It's just listing building consent. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Anybody else wishing to speak? No, we'll go to the vote on that one then. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Again, that is unanimous. It is approved. Moving on to item agenda 15 and 16 and 17 and 18. They're all outline environmental statements, and I believe we're looking for site visits for these four.
Chairman, to save you the rigour of reading out every description of development, which I think would be take us another half an hour, members will have appreciated that, probably read in the press as well, that we've got four applications in for the developments that's described in the application, all of which are major applications and all of which are accompanied by an environmental impact assessment. And as a result of that, as you can see from the consultations, I don't think there's many people we haven't consulted on these applications, and we're at a very early stage in that process. But nevertheless, comments and responses are starting to come in, and so it could be relatively short order before we're coming back to Planning Committee with reports for you to consider more completely. But in the meantime, because of the nature of them, we thought it would be opportune to raise the prospect of a site inspection so that members have had the opportunity to look at the sites before we then consider any reports. They're all in and around Moulton, as you'll have seen, so I think it's the sort of series of site visits that we could comfortably accommodate in possibly a couple of hours, but it's that sort of fact-finding tool that I think members would find helpful before we get into the depths of any detailed consideration and debate. So they're all recommended for a site inspection, Chairman.
Do we have anyone wishing to move? We have a say. Councillor Mrs. Sanderson. Move it. Thank you. Seconded Councillor Ward. We'll put that to the vote then. All of the. Yeah. Not yet. That's unanimous, thank you. We need to sort out a date for the site visit, which is usually a fortnight after this planning meeting, but as Gary will be away fortnight today, so we're going to go for the Thursday, is it the 19th? Thursday the 19th of June. Probably 10 o'clock.
Can I say that on the last few site visits we've had, there's been very few members actually turn up, and I think on such an important site, I think it would be nice to try and get some consensus of agreement that where we can all actually get to the site visit.
Chairman, I'm sort of conscious of that, and obviously some people work during the day and the like, and I think following the site inspection, dependent on the turnout that we've had of membership, then for those members who can't attend, I think possibly it might help if I sort of did a where you can view the sites from to start off with, and possibly even some sort of officer note of where we stood and what we looked at and what questions were asked, because I think most of the sites are readily visible from public viewpoints, and I think if members who can't attend are availed of that information, then at least they'll be able to look at the sites and see what the other members saw from a personal site visiting capacity. You don't really need to go on the sites to see.
Any objection just to going with Sean and Caroline? That's quite all right. We have our nice little tours, you know.
Really?
Well, you'll be burdened with me this time, I'm afraid.
Chair, just to point out, on the 19th is Policy and Resources and England Uruguay, so I'm not sure that's a good evening.
We'll do it at 10 in the morning.
Perhaps not, but it'll be 10 in the morning, so.
We'll be out by then.
Yeah. So if we say on the 19th...
Chair, I won't be able to come on Thursday morning because I have national parks that day.
Okay.
Well, we'll make an arrangement.
Yeah, we'll make arrangements for the other members at a later date if possible.
Keen to ask Councillor Richardson, who probably would know, if that's the third group match, do you think we'll still be interested by that? Thank you, Chair.
So it has been... has it been moved? Oh, it has been moved for the site visit, yeah. We've done that. Well, this is the question. I don't know offhand. Well, I'll be available on the 19th to go. That's two of us. Better than none at all.
Well, Chairman, you know, it's just a question of diary availability, I suppose, Chairman. Well, I think for those members who are able to attend, officers will be able to point out any technical, factual questions that are raised at that point. I'm certainly more than happy for members who cannot attend to do a sort of members viewed the site from these points, for members to avail themselves of that same information. I think there is a risk if we do a site visit and then members who can't attend don't have that same opportunity, that they might miss out on some of the key viewpoints or relationships with listed buildings or relationships to the A64, where the surfaced water drainage retention ponds will go, that sort of thing. So it is a little bit more than just standing next to the site.
Can I just say, if only two people can go, it seems like a pretty poor site visit. I would have thought it would be better to choose.
At this stage, we don't know who can attend. Well, there are two regular members of the Planning Committee who we don't know what their diary arrangements are. I mean, they may be advised of the date and can attend. So that's four. I mean, it's rare that we get more than four or five or six on a site inspection in any event. But I think it does assist other members who are not able to attend if members who have visited the site are able to give their view on what they saw.
Rather than do it by guesswork and just perhaps only have two people, could we arrange it by email so that we can all get back to you with a date where perhaps 50% of the Planning Committee can go?
It's probably feeling a bit like herding cats at the moment, in the sense of trying to get all the members who work, and then there are some people who aren't on email. I was ready for that. Yeah. So it is difficult. I'm more than happy to set somebody on in managing development the task of trying to do that by circulating an email around saying, well, these are dates this week and possible times, what's the best fit? Looking at the chairman and my own diary to earlier on today, it seems though the 19th was best for us, but if that's not necessarily the best for everybody else, then we might have to consider something else.
It came to Planning Committee and we hadn't seen the site with an officer, and we felt that we really needed more information on site with an officer. We could call a second site visit if we weren't happy.
Well, Chairman, that's clearly what I'm trying to avoid. You know, nothing's to stop you going to a site and looking at the site and forming your own view, but it doesn't replace the fact-finding that can happen with a site visit where you might wish to ask a question of the officer there and then. But what I'm saying to you is that we very often get to a situation where we've had a site visit, there might be three or four people turn up, members who've been on the site visit have asked the questions, come back to the committee and relay what they've seen to the rest of the membership. So very often you'll have more than half of the membership have not seen a site. I would hope, given the importance and scale and size and interlinked nature of these sites that members can view them.
What we'll have to do then is get something sent round to members with two or three dates and find out which date most can go attend and go from there. That seems to be the only way.
Chairman, first off, do you want a site visit? Yes or no? If you don't, well, fair enough, but you run the risk that there'll be a delay at some point when we bring you a report. There's nothing to stop any members going and viewing the site and forming their own views of things. Tomorrow, if members wish to vote for a site visit, but for a date of time of best fit to be arranged at our discretion, in other words, the most who can attend on a given date and time, we'll set that in train tomorrow. But it does need to be fairly sharpish because we'll have things come into committee fairly quickly. So it won't be next week, but it could be any time starting the dates the week after. That's the week commencing the 16th onwards.
Councillor Woodward.
Forgive me, Chair, because this is what we as a group and used to getting bashed with, but maybe it's time that we took the chance to turn the tables. We've had this paperwork a week. We know the recommendation was a site visit. We know site visits are always 2 weeks afterwards. And nobody has thought to get in touch beforehand and said, we can't make that date. I mean, that strikes me as a little strange. Suddenly tonight we get, well, we can't make that date. We know the recommendation was a site visit, but we can't make the date we always have them. And if we get to the meeting and we haven't seen the site, we will move a site visit, not knowing whether other people can make that date.
Chairman, can I just respond to that? The reason it isn't the 17th is because a meeting will be occurring in Leeds with the highway authorities, the highways agency, to deal with these applications. And trying to get a meeting in Leeds with the highways agency is trying to find hen's teeth. I need to be at that meeting, so that's why the 17th is a problem. Okay. Otherwise, we would normally be saying the 17th. It's been extremely difficult to arrange that meeting with the various consultants and highway engineers and officers that are involved with that. So hence the suggestion of an alternative date that week. From my point of view, it doesn't matter if it goes into the following week, but the sooner the better, really, because we'd like to start to gather information and responses and be working on the applications.
As a follow-up, when did you at the top table hear about the meeting?
Monday.
It was only Monday. So why wasn't an email sent out to people saying we won't be able to do it? You know, at least people might have been able to make...
You wouldn't have got it. Eight members would. To be honest, Chairman, hindsight's perfect vision. I could have sent an email around. But actually, would it have made any difference? I don't know.
Well, I did actually change my route at work to have the Tuesday off so I could do the site visit, and now I'm going to have to change it back. So, there we go. So what will...
Well, first off, Chairman, do members want
we
a site visit?
Everybody, it was unanimous.
Right, okay. So we're in favour of that. If members wish us to send round some possible dates and times, as long as members are in a position to respond to that this week, then we can arrange a date of best fit.
That's what we shall do.
Can there be a map put in as the site?
There always is when we...
Yes, there will be, Chairman. There'll be a map of the site plus a map of where they are in relation to the town. That's correct, Chairman.
Correct. So that is what we will do. We'll send out...
Okay, Chairman. I think you might be in the wrong room.
Okay, so where should I be?
I don't know. What do you think you're here for?
Parish liaison meeting.
Next week.
That's next week.
Council, is it?
Planning committee.
Parish liaison is the 11th.
It's the 11th.
Oh, local council. All right, Yorkshire Local Council. So we're doing that then, Chairman?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll try and contact you as expeditiously as we can. Yeah, I'm sure I could, yeah.
Right, item agenda 19. Before I move on to that, we need somebody to move exempt.
I think there's a gentleman who wants to move.
Yeah.
So, I'm afraid you have to leave.
So we need all members of the public and press and whatever to leave. It's obviously not going. Yeah, I'm just going to tell them.
Did you see who moved in second?
No, we haven't actually.
Oh, we need to do that.
Moving it. Can I have somebody move exempt, please? Well, I'll move it from Councillor Mrs. Frank. Moved it, seconded by Councillor Mrs. Shields. Councillor Mrs. Shields. Just to be awkward. And so we have to vote on that, do we?
Yes.
Do we have to vote on that?
Well, by an indication or
exemption. Can we vote on that? Yeah, we'll move on. A vote to go exempt. Can we vote on moving it on going into exempt, please? Thank you, that is unanimous.
James, just for convenience, I'll give you that.
All right, thank you.
So you know who I am.
Yep. So now we're in exempt, can we have the update, please?
Chairman, by way of introduction to members of the Planning Committee, obviously you'll be familiar with Jill Thompson and Dan Wheelwright from the Forward Planning Team, but also to my right, I think possibly with the exception of Councillor Sanderson, I have Robin Newlove from the Consultants URS. Robin and his colleague Nigel Weir actually were the Planning Consultant and the Landscape Advisor on the recent wind farm appeal. But have been the consultants that we've sought some independent advice on with regard to the Gladman's appeal and the situation that we currently have before us. And I hope that members have got the URS opinion and the report, which was circulated and, as you'll have gathered, is an exempt paper. I hope you've had enough time to read its contents. And Robin's here really very much to answer any detailed comments about the URS report and advice that's been received, which I would stress has also been looked at by the council's barrister. And again, I think Councillor Anthony Winship, can give us any further detailed advice of a legal nature that members might have. So if there are any detailed questions, then the officer team plus Robin would be happy to answer those.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Can I just point out a correction in paragraph 8.4? It says the latest supply position as at 31st of March 14 indicates that the council had 5.46 years. That should read 5.41. That's a typo there. So just to be clear, that should be 5.41 years. The other figure is correct. 5.41, yes.
So are there any questions for officers? Councillor Mrs Sanderson will come to you first.
Right, this might come out in a muddle, but I'll try and work through my notes. First of all, in your opening paragraph, I mean, this is obviously presumably to cover yourself, you put the conclusions and recommendations contained in this report are based upon information provided by others. Are you absolutely...
There is a list, item agenda 21, there is a list of applications determined under delegated powers, and on 22 there is an update of appeal decisions. Councillor Mrs Sanderson.
Chairman, thank you. I just had concerns about this appeal, and I think there were implications. The Wilton one, where we'd put the conditions on, and then it was refused on the conditions. I just want to flag that I was very concerned about that, because on this committee we have had sort of decisions where we've been finely balanced and we've accepted those plans because of the conditions, and then they go to appeal and the conditions are overturned as easily as that. It does impact on future decisions, I think, that this committee make.
A classic case of what we've just been talking about. You never know what you're going to get from a planning inspectorate. I quite frankly read the appeal and I thought, well, he obviously got his eyes closed. Couldn't believe the decision that's been made there. But that's sometimes what you get with appeal decisions. You there are ones that you think will be cast iron certainties and you'll get a decision like that. And I know it's only a small thing, but... to say that won't then be replicated on the four barns immediately next to it is bonkers, really. But that's sometimes what you get, and that's the nature of the appeal process. Obviously, we've got the other appeal decision on the late pages, which was the wind farm.
Councillor Woodward.
Could I just say on the Wilton one, if I was that way inclined, Chair, I told you so. I think I was one of only one or two to vote against enforcement.
So, Councillor Richardson.
Just a question, kind of related to the last item and also this one. Can we use consultants at the reasons for refusal stage? And is there a precedent for that, or is it just left to the planning team?
Judgment call, really. Certainly did it on in advance of the decision on the wind farm to get the reasons for refusal as good as we thought you might want them to be, because clearly that had major implications. But we make 1,500 planning decisions a year, a lot of refusals under delegated powers, so it's a judgment call.
Thank you. I now declare this meeting closed. Wish you a safe journey home.